I know it's been a big day and you've had, you've already had a buffet. Already had a buffet, but God talks, you know that? God speaks about his church, speaks about people who are visiting here. So let's just take 1 or 2 minutes to get some people healed. Is that okay? God was talking. I'm not going to take a long time on this, but can I get the people right where you are just to stand up? These are people God was talking to me about. There's people here and you've got problems with your bones. And some of it felt like bone density problems. Others it could be marrow problems or something like that, but something wrong with your bones. Just stand up right where you are. And we're going to get people around you in a minute. There's that's the first word of knowledge God gave me. Second one, and I believe this is two different people. There's someone here, and in your shoulder, right about here, you carry a lot of tension, you have pain in that shoulder. Whoever that is, just pop up. The other person God wants to heal is in your neck area, just up there. It's not the shoulder, it's the neck. Someone popping up for that. And that neck could either cause you problems up in the headache, or there's someone that has a pretty regular headache, just, I was going to say, in the corner of your head. You can't have a corner. But just at the back of your head there. So whoever that is wants to pop up. Two more to go. Knees. When I sit at the front here, God started. Sometimes I feel the pain. And I felt the pain of sore knees. If you just want to stand up and get ready to get healed today. That's pretty cool. God knows his church, doesn't he? And the last one, the last word of knowledge God gave me today was fatigue. There's people here that are battling fatigue. And if you want to just stand up, if you've got enough energy to stand up. We can have fun with this thing too, hey? Now, can I ask, if you're a regular here and if you know you're in right standing with God, just go and lay hands. Just get up from your seat. You have to get up and move around. Go and lay hands on someone. And we're going to pray a prayer together, okay? Just move. I see Joni over there. I met Joni today. You couldn't do any better than getting Joni to lay hands on you right now. But we're going to pray together. Make sure everyone's got hands laid on. If there's someone in front of you, I believe in body ministry. So come on, let's, brother down the back here, no one's laying hands on him. Make sure everyone's looked after. We believe in body ministry. So loving Father, we declare the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth in this place. We know that every person has come to this place, and Father, we want them to go home better. We want them to go home fulfilled. So we speak to fatigue. We speak to knee pains. We speak to shoulder pains, neck pains, headaches, Father. We speak to problems in the bones, marrow, or even bone cancer, Father. We speak to it and we arrest it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, now according to the word of God, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Father, you actually don't even tell us to pray. You just said lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So we're doing exactly what you're asking us to do today. Father, we release your blessing. We release your full healing in this place to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, it's really good if you get a chance, if you can do anything like an exercise of faith. Like if you've had stiff knees, just move them a little. If you've had a sore shoulder, just move it. Because quite often I see the healing come when you exercise faith. And we don't want to spend any more time on this today. But remember to look, to do an exercise of faith. It's really good. I learned that off A.A. Allen. He would pray for people that'd be lying there. They'd have cancer, they'd be lying on beds. He'd pray for them. I didn't know A.A. Allen. I'm not that old. I watched a video, just by the way. And he'd pray for them. They'd just lie there. And I think they didn't get healed. Then he'd say, why don't you just try to sit up? And they go, we can't. He said, come on, just try. Just try to sit up. And then he'd go, why don't you just try to put your feet on the floor? Why don't you just try to stand up? Why don't you just come for a little walk with me? And the more they exercised their faith, the more they got healed, the stronger they got. And I've seen that all over the world. I've seen some amazing healings take place that way. So it's good to have an exercise of faith. I do also have some prophecies, but I'm just going to hold them to the end. Just going to hold on. So I want to jump into the... No, I'm not. I'm going to have one. Sean, old mate, I've met you once. And I looked over before, I was sitting there and I looked over and I saw you and I vaguely remember the word I had over your life about God calling into ministry. But when I looked at you before, I saw two tool bags and I saw one is full of drills and things you use for the tools of the trade. But I also saw the other tool bag, it's the tools of ministry. And God's starting to fill that. And this bag was still fuller than that bag, but I see God's put a bag beside you, the ministry tools, and God's starting to equip you. God's starting to put some of these things in there. And before when I met you, you were just carrying the one bag, just carrying the Sparky's bag. But I see God's adding some things to you and adding some gifts to your life. And you've been waiting. You've been getting frustrated waiting on this thing, but it's there and it's building and it's growing. And I just think the word of God is, as you have opportunity, do good. As you have opportunities, don't go out looking for them. Don't try to make them happen. God's going to bring them across your path. And he's also going to strengthen the lower part of your back there too. I just feel that times when you're doing your Sparky work, you just get this lower back area. Is that right? It doesn't matter to me if it's right or wrong, because God, you know, that's just what I felt. In the shoulder there. Who's that one very close by, lower back, just there? That's you, okay? They're usually close by. If it's not on it, Father, we just bless her and we release your healing power in Jesus' name. Amen. But yeah, just that bag is getting fuller. It's fuller than it was a year ago, and it's not long they're going to weigh the same, and you're going to be able to do some good stuff there in the kingdom of God. Okay. I'm going to share a word today. Matt texted me a little while ago and said, you got the title. I went, yeah, righteousness. But I think it's really a revelation of righteousness that I want to share. So can I encourage you, get your Bibles out, get your pen and your paper out, because I've only got, you know, a short period of time to unpack one of the most amazing concepts to you. And really, all I can do is throw it out in seed form. I'm just going to go and sow some seed today. And I just realized I'm talking really fast, so I'm going to slow down a little bit. I'm going to sow some seed today, and really it's up to you to take that seed home. I prayed for sticky seed, that it'll stick with you, that you'll go home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and it won't be like, oh, what did Andrew preach about on Sunday? It's going to stick. So I've got 14 scriptures, which is a lot of scripture, but it really is going to expand. It's going to give you some real insight. You can also do a countdown, then you go, write down 14, cross out, that's only 13, you go, only 12, 11, so you know where I'm up to with my message. So we're going to jump straight into it today. It's a great scripture, which we all know, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself or not of works, it's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, we all know that scripture because it's preached in a lot of churches around Australia. It's been preached here, no doubt, many, many times. It's preached in King's Table. That it's not a works. And if I try to convince you that there's a work aspect to salvation, you would shut me down. You'd say, get out of the pulpit, because you're preaching something that's not according to the Word of God. You're not preaching the Word of God, because by grace you're saved through faith. It's not yourself. It's not a works. It's a gift of God. And we have that revelation because a man called Martin Luther, he was a monk, and he believed, along with all of the church in the 16th century, they believed that you could achieve salvation. If you tried really hard and you had some really good disciplines around your life, through hard work, you could achieve salvation. That was the thought of the church around about 500 years ago. But thank goodness for Martin Luther, that come to a realization. I think Bible scholars may correct me on this, but I think it was around 1513 or 1514, Martin Luther had the realization that you don't achieve salvation, you receive salvation. And when he understood that you receive salvation, he said something like, you just put out your hands and you receive it like a gift. And the church has benefited from that for the last 500 years, that we understand salvation, we put our hands and we receive it. It's not our works. Our righteousness is just filthy rags, the Bible says. So the word sozo, or the word salvation, is the word sozo in the original language. And it's not just salvation in the traditional sense of it. You know, like, I got saved so I didn't have to go to hell. It's not just that. Salvation, or sozo, means to keep safe and sound. It means to rescue from danger and destruction, from injury or peril. It's bigger than just, well, I'm not going to hell when I die. It's about God intervening. It's to make well and to heal, to restore to health, to prevail, preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to rescue, to come under God's provision and be delivered. That's what salvation is. So we understand, and I think we're understanding more and more that salvation is not just when I die, I get to go to heaven. It's understanding it while we're on earth, that there's some things, some benefits of being saved that we can walk in them. But there's more. There is more, and the more is righteousness. Now, for entry level today on the subject of righteousness, we're going to say rightness. It's just being right with God. It's being in right standing with God. You go, what is righteousness? It's just being right with God. Now, there's probably some deeper ways to explain it, but because this is only righteousness 101 today, we're just going to call it being in right standing with God. So many people think, actually, no, I won't go into that yet. Romans, my second scripture, Romans 1, 16, 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. There's a key word. Have a listen how many times I say believe today. It's for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, the thing with righteousness, quite often we go around trying to establish our own righteousness. And I've been a Christian for 40 years and I've fell short many, many times because I didn't understand that righteousness is God's righteousness. When he gets talking in the New Testament about righteousness, and you keep an ear out for this today because this is a recurring theme, the righteousness is God's righteousness. Hear this again. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. There's another recurring theme. You're going to hear the word faith. Faith and believing are two words you're going to have to listen out for today. For it is revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. There's something about faith, and faith is not, oh yeah, I have faith. Like you can have a car, but you don't walk to church. What you do, you hop in your car and you put your car in gear and it starts to move. That's like faith. You can have faith, but then you've got to get your believing in gear and you've got to have something happen. It's got to be moving. Faith that is just neutral is really not faith. So when I refer to the word believing, I'm referring to it as in like my faith on the move, not just my faith sitting in neutral. It's faith on the move. Okay, so many people, remember this guy had the revelation that salvation is not, you don't achieve salvation, you receive salvation. And I said there's still more. When it comes to righteousness, and I'm going reasonably quick because I want to get all this out today, many people still believe we achieve righteousness through works and disciplines around our life. But we don't, however, we need to understand, we need to have a realization, we need to have a revelation that we actually receive righteousness. Just the same as we receive salvation, we need to receive righteousness. We need to put out our hands and just go, I receive. I'm going to talk to you later on about how to receive, because there is confusion in the church how to receive from God. Galatians 2. Verse 21, probably all these scriptures will go up here, and I think this is my third scripture. I do not set aside the grace of God. Don't ever set aside the grace of God. Everything is wrapped up in grace. Do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through law, the law of works, then Christ died in vain. And the law of opposite said, if righteousness doesn't come through the law, it must come through the gift. You get that? If it's according to law, if it's according to work, then Christ died in vain. We're going to keep moving. Romans 3, scripture number 4. We're moving along well. Romans 3, 21, 22. But now, I love now words, but now faith is, the Bible says. Now, in the New Testament, now in this new covenant, righteousness of God, there it is again, referring not our righteousness, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law of works, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, witnessed in the Old Testament. Even the righteousness of God, once again, not your righteousness, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Righteousness is God's righteousness in you through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. not just sitting there with your faith idling, but your faith is in gear. If you look to God, His righteousness, you've got faith, you put it into gear, that faith is on all, and I'll read it right, that faith is to all and on all who believe. Is it starting to create a different concept in your mind today? I'm hoping it will. Romans 10:10, we know the Romans road to salvation. It says this, Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes to righteousness. I'd never heard this scripture used except for a salvation message. But with the heart you believe to righteousness, and with the mouth you profess your faith and are saved. So something happens. You know, I didn't profess Jesus Christ until something happened in my heart. When I was 18, I started hitchhiking up the Queensland coast, and everywhere I went, there was Queenslanders. There were Christians. I hitchhiked to Cairns. I hopped out, and there was an old mate I used to do drugs with witnessing Jesus on the streets. Took me home to the North Queensland Jesus People hippie commune. Preached Jesus to me for 3 days. He told me Jesus is coming back for His bride. I thought, gee, she's a lucky woman. Didn't realize it was a church. He preached Jesus to me. After 3 days, I went, I'm out of here. I hitchhiked up to Port Douglas. Someone come and tied their boat up beside mine. I couldn't get away. Witnessed Jesus to me. Man, 2 years up in North Queensland, and I decided I'll head back home. I started hitchhiking down the Sunshine Coast. Got to Nambour, got out, got another car, and there was a Bible on the dash of the car that I was hitchhiking. And I looked at the Bible. I thought, I know what's coming. I know what's coming. And I sat there waiting for this girl to witness to. Her name was Kari Taylor. Kari and Alan Taylor, I got to know them in later years. And I said to her, after about 10 minutes of silence, I said, you're a Christian, aren't you? She said, yep. I said, you want to tell me about Jesus, don't you? She goes, yeah. I said, go on. I knew what was coming. She was probably praying, saying, God, give me an opening. I was going, God, tell me. For with the heart, see, there was something happened in my heart. With the heart, one believes to righteousness. And with the mouth, one confesses unto salvation. Romans 4:5-8. And I've lost which scripture I'm up to, but I'm on page 2 of 3, if that's any help. But to him who does not work but believes, faith in gear, on him who just... Oh, sorry, I'll read it again. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. It's accounted. It's like we've got Virginia, the accountant, here. She can add up sums. I bring in my dockets, I give them to her, and she adds them all up. There's something about accountancy. It says it's accounted to you for righteousness. Just as David also declared the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from law. Now, if you're anything like me, you mean, what the heck does impute mean? He imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. So he does not impute sin, but he imputes righteousness. Well, that's really cool. If only we knew what impute means. It means to take an inventory, to get down and look at it, or to reconcile. You know, like there's files or rows of figures, columns of figures, and someone reconciles them. They adds it all up and goes, this is the bottom line. He adds up everything. And human nature is like God adds up the good and the bad. He just reconciles what Jesus did for you. That's what he adds up. It's not about you. It's not about self-righteousness. It's about what Jesus did for you and you receiving that righteousness. He reconciles it. He doesn't impute sin. He doesn't add up your sin. If he added up our sin, you and I are in trouble. But he doesn't add up our sin. He adds up what he's done for you. And I've got more scripture to back that up later on. It's accounting term, to reckon. He reckons what he's done. Ephesians 4:22-24. The Bible tells us to put off the old and put on the new. And in my early Christian walk, I tried that. I worked really hard at putting off the old and putting on the new, but I failed. I failed miserably. And I think anyone of us are honest will realize I still let Peter down once. This still burns on my heart. When I was a little boy growing up in the mangroves of Bligh Bligh, Dad told me a joke. And the joke was, jump and I will catch you. So you jump and dad would step out of the way and you crash to the ground. And you go, that's lesson number one, don't trust anyone. So we grew up with this joke, jump and I will catch you. So Peter was over in Cambodia with us and he was on the top bunk. And I walked in, saw him on the top bunk, and I went, jump and I will catch you, thinking, this is a joke. And he jumped. This guy jumped off the top bunk, just flung himself off, and I did what any sensible man did. I just stepped out of the way. And he crashed to the ground, and I thought, gee, he really believed that. And I don't know how I got on that, but now I've got it off my heart. Okay, where are we up to? God doesn't keep a record. That's what I must have been going that way. Ephesians said you put off the old nature and you put on the new nature. And I've tried that, but it doesn't work because the Bible actually says it this way, Ephesians 4, 22, 24, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man that grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, until you renew your mind, if you think righteousness is by all the good things I do, you'll spend your whole life doing good things and thinking this is what God's talking about. God's not talking about our righteousness. He's talking about his righteousness in us. So we need to change the way we think. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, because you'll never live up to the standards of God. No one could do that. God gave a law with, I don't know, 400 or 500 rules, and he went, this doesn't work. I'll have to send my son to die for their sin, because that just doesn't work. Rules don't work. But we come into the new covenant and we try to bring rules like that, go, well, if I do this, 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 and this, if I let Norm speak rough to me and I just smile back at him, I let him heckle me while I'm preaching and just smile at him, which he's been you've been very well behaved today. I was a little bit concerned when Norm came and sat right behind me, because I thought, I'm going to cop it today. But, you know, if we try to add up righteousness, we fail. But if we go, just the same as I submitted to salvation, I'm going to submit to righteousness in me, God's righteousness, that you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, you change the way you think, and that you put on the new man who's created to God, according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, holiness is introducing another, another subject here, because righteousness and holiness are different. And for the sake of Holiness 101, I want to say righteousness is internal. It's my right standing with God. It's my rightness. Holiness is what I do with this and what sticks to me. It's the way I express this righteousness of God, and I do things on the outside. It's a holy lifestyle. So think about that. Holiness is an external thing. How you receive, and I want to get on the thing of receiving now. I'm at the bottom of my second page of notes. We need to relax. Do you ever do that? Relax and receive from God. We need to embrace holiness. Hebrews, I think it's around Hebrews 6. Don't count this scripture. This is a free one. I'm just throwing this in. Hebrews 6 says, I'm persuaded better things of you, yes, the things that accompany salvation. So holiness, you can have the most holy life. I've got Sikh neighbours across the road, and they are holy people as far as discipline, but they won't get to heaven if they've never received Jesus. We have these conversations. We have great conversations. They do great vegetarian food and good coffee. So I spent a lot of time with my Sikh neighbor and we have conversations. And so there's things that accompany salvation. They're not your salvation, but there's things you're going to spend, 80 years, let's say 80 years on the earth. And there's things going to be accompanying your life all the way you go through life. You only get one shot at this life. You only get to spend it once and then it's over. So you've got to spend it on things that actually has eternal value. This holiness will have an eternal reward. There'll be a crown connected with it somehow. So receiving, we need to relax into the gift of righteousness. Now, I want to tell you something about receiving, how to receive, because I think some people don't understand this. When I first got saved, they'd have altar calls. I got born again 10th of August 1980 in a revival on the Sunshine Coast. Neil and Nancy Myers were the pastors, still pastoring. I think Neil turned 80 this year and still pastoring on the coast. Oh, they would have altar calls every week. People get healed, people getting saved, all great things. I would go up on the altar and I'd be so busy trying to have faith. I've got faith. And I remember a cartoon when I was a kid, Ricochet Rabbit. They'd shoot aim, boom, 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 and the bullets would just bing, 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 and they'd bounce off him. And I was like a ricochet rabbit of receiving prayer. I'd be so busy trying to convince God I had faith to receive that I never received. And one day this still small voice said to me, why do you go up the front of the church? Why do you go up there for prayer? I go, well, I want to receive from you. And he goes, that's an act of faith. For you to leave your chair, for you today, when I said someone here with a sore neck, for you to stand up, that was an act of faith. And that's all the faith God needs. We think God needs huge faith. He said, faith is a grain of mustard seed. That's an act of faith. So for you to leave your chair and walk to the front of the church, you've done it. That's all the faith God needs, right? So now it's, you just relax and receive. I grew up on the Sunshine Coast when people used to sunbake. I'm getting skin cancers cut out. I've got scars on me. And I've got one ear higher than the other because I had a skin cancer cut out. And they moved an ear up, you know. I had melanoma on my back because people sunbaked. But I never saw on the Sunshine Coast someone go down the beach and lie there and try to squeeze out a tan. No. Suntanning was about positioning yourself. You didn't position yourself in the shade. You positioned yourself where the sun was shining. And then you went, ha. And if you positioned yourself long enough and regularly enough, you end up with skin cancer when you're old. But just, ha. It's just relaxing. I'm in the right place at the right time. You don't go down there at midnight. You go down there at midnight and relax into a suntan. You won't get it. You might get a moon tan. I don't know if there's any such thing. But receiving from God is like that. It's not like, oh, God, I've had people come on altar calls and you're trying to pray from there going, oh, I go, stop it. Stop praying. If you've done your act of faith, now relax. With receiving from God, stepping and receiving righteousness, receiving salvation, receiving righteousness, I just relax into it. Like Martin Luther said, you just raise your hands and receive the gift. Had a friend who went to Bethel College in America for 2 years. Spent a lot of money. Sold his house, went over there, used a lot of his money from his house. Him and his wife went over to Bethel. 2 years of Bible college. He said, man, they made us read some books. They had to read, they had to study. Come back to my place. And I said, what did you learn in Bethel? 2 years of Bible college, a whole lot of money spent. What did you learn? He said, I learned this. And he raised his hands. Like that, sat at my dining room table, raised his hands, he said, that's what I learned. I said, 2 years of Bible college, that's what you've learned? He goes, do it. We call it receiving mode. And we raised our hands. I humoured him, I raised my hands, and the power of God fell in our house. There's an aware. I'm getting, can you see that? I'm getting goosebumps now. I'm getting goosebumps because I learned how to receive from God. My mate spent 2 years and thousands of dollars. I had a cup of coffee and he gave me the secret. Much, much more cost efficient. You just raise your hands and you relax into God. That's receive mode. That's how it works. Later on, we're going to have an altar call. That's how it'll work. Just relax and receive. Okay, page 3. We're all getting exciting now. So we receive righteousness, but what if we blow it? What if we make mistakes? What if, you know, someone gets on your goat? Means you've still got a goat to get on, doesn't it? That's an old saying, that one. But anyway, God in his kindness has put something in the Bible for this. If a friend of mine, I was traveling with him through Cambodia and Thailand, and he preached on righteousness. Just a young man. Day one, I said, you want to preach? He went, right, and he preached on righteousness. Day two, I said, yeah, do you want to preach tonight? He goes, yep, preached on righteousness. All through Cambodia, we hit Thailand. I said, what are you going to preach on today? He goes, I'm going to preach on righteousness. I said, you got anything else for me? He said, no, I'm just going to preach on righteousness. 2 weeks, wherever we went, I preached, he preached. It was always about righteousness. About the end of the second week, I went, oh, I got it. I've been a Christian 35 years at that stage, but it was like, oh, it's God's righteousness. And he said this to me. He said, you know, sometimes I make a mistake. I blow it. I just straight out rebel. And I say to God, that's not like me. That's not like my nature. And I use 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, there's another scripture for you. You can mark that one off. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, it's just like, that's not like me to do that. I got angry. Well, that's not like me. God's sorry. I confess my sin. God forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. God's even built that into the word. Well, while we're learning, while we're renewing our mind to the fact that we are righteous, when God looks at us, he calls us righteous and holy. You know, man looks at us. Man looks on the outward. You know, oh, he's uneducated. He's this, he's that. You know, he could be taller, could be thinner, could be younger. Man looks on the outside. But God looks at the heart. God calls those things that be not as though they were. He calls us righteous and holy and sons and beloved and tells us we're going to judge angels and things like that. They're amazing things, but that's how God looks at us. And we need to agree with God. Many people believe we achieve righteousness through works. We can't achieve righteousness through works. We need to realize that we receive righteousness. When we believed with our heart, we received righteousness. That you just put out your hands and you receive the gift. That's how it works. Got about, oh, I think about five scriptures left to go. Romans 5:17. In these last five verses, five scriptures, there's three key verses. So you're not going to retain everything I've told you today, but just retain these key verses. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's sin, or one man's offense, that's Adam, if by Adam death reigned through the one, much more those who receive, everyone say receive, those who receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. You receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. It's all part of salvation. It's all part of sozo. It's all wrapped up on the inside at the same time. We just don't realize. We just don't unpack everything at the same time. My job today is to throw out seeds to go, hey, you know what? If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you're already righteous. You may not even be operating in that yet, but it's internal. And if you have a bit of a look through the shoebox of sozo, you will find that in your heart that, hey, there's healing, there's salvation, there's forgiveness, there's righteousness already packed in what God's given you. For those who receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. How do you reign in life? Because you'd live free of condemnation. What an amazing thing. What would it be like to be free of that little internal voice that convicts you all the time or condemns you all the time? Says, you should have done that, you could have done that. 1 John 1:9, we confess it and we get on with the job, because that's not like me. That's not like me to do that. That's not like me to get cranky. That's not like me to look with, you know, that kind of attitude or heart. I've got the righteousness of God dwelling in me. It's not my righteousness. It's his righteousness. It's a free gift. 1 Corinthians 1:13. But of him you are in Christ Jesus. Of him you are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom of God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. See, it's in him. If you are in him, if you're connected to him, all these things, wisdom from God, righteousness from God is yours, sanctification from God, redemption from God, it's all there. You are in him. He's in you, and they're all in the gifts. They're all in salvation. 2 Corinthians 5, I think I'm down to about my third last verse maybe. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin, being Jesus, Jesus, the creator of the universe, left heaven, came to earth. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. See, this is a covenant exchange. I only knew sin. He only knew righteousness. He came to earth. He became sin. He didn't just take on sin. He became sin so God could judge it. God actually had never been separated from his son before. Even when Jesus walked on the earth, God was always connected. They fellowshiped together. And yet when Jesus became sin, God looked away. He said, Father, why have you forsaken me? It's because he was not just taking on your sin. He became sin and it was judged in full on Jesus, that we might become the righteousness of God. Everything he is, I now have. Everything I was, he now had, or he took. That's covenant exchange. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. When I first got saved, a guy from Jerry and the Pacemakers, Jerry Exton, he sung a song called I Am the Righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in him. I can now approach the presence of God with no condemnation of sin. I never understood it then. It took me another 35 years to understand it, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You need to start confessing what God says about you. Romans 10, verse 3. For they, and it could be they, could be the church worldwide, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, remember it's not your righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted to the righteousness of God. There's this thing, you know, before I said, we need to submit to the righteousness of God. So if that's what you're saying about me, okay then. You know, it's only 11:30. I just not much longer. Two times in my life, I've experienced total submission. One of them, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was going to be hung for my faith. And they said to me, you have to make the noose. And you weave a noose or you tie up a noose or whatever. And I was tying it up and I remember looking and going, wow, that's a really good noose. I didn't know I could do that. And then it struck me. I thought, they're going to hang me with this. In 2 minutes, I'm going to stand before God. In 2 minutes, I'm going to give an account for my life on this earth. And there was this feeling of total submission. It's just like, every excuse, every struggle, everything was just taken out of me. And I thought, it's me and God now. And with that, the scene that I was looking at started to roll out of the way. And I saw the feet of Jesus. I saw into heaven. And it started to roll away. And he was on the throne. He was probably as tall as this room on the throne. And I'm standing there before the throne. I saw his feet. And then the clouds rolled away. And I saw up to his knees. And the cloud kept rolling away. And I kept looking. And it came up and up and up as the clouds cleared. And got right about to his face. And I got that excited. I woke up. I went, oh, man. I wanted to see the face of Jesus. But I got a glimpse into heaven. And I felt total surrender. No, you know, it didn't matter about my house. It didn't matter about this or that. It didn't even matter about things I'd done in life. I surrendered, and in a matter of seconds, it was set right. It was just an incredible feeling. And I've said to God before, you know, oh, I surrender. I thought, I'm actually not surrendering because I know what total surrender feels like. The other time I surrendered, we were in Cambodia, and we were playing in a park. And we went to play in a park, and a policeman came and told me, he said, you're not allowed to play in this park. I said, why? He said, you're not allowed to walk on the grass. I said, this is a park. He goes, this is a park. I said, but we can't walk on the grass. He goes, no, you cannot walk on the grass. I said, what about when I go past here at 5 o'clock every day and everyone's playing football here? And through the translator, he said, well, they're naughty. That was his answer. They're naughty for running on the grass. So at 5 o'clock, the policeman packs up his gear, goes into his unit across the road, and everyone from the neighbourhood comes down. We start playing football and all that. And we had balloons, we got all the kids together. We're having so much fun. And one of the girls had balloons, and all these street kids jumped on her, literally put a pile of little street kids on top of her. And I, because they wanted the balloons she had, so I went and dragged her out from underneath the kids, and I took the balloons off her because she was really shaken by all these street kids jumping on. I put the balloons in my pockets. And every so often, a kid would walk past, and I'd get a balloon, I'd throw it out, you know, and I was having great fun with the kids. And then this idea came into my head, I'm going to run through the park, and I'm going to throw balloons out of each pocket. I'm going to run and throw balloons, you know. So I'm running through the park, throwing balloons, having a great time, and then I ran out of balloons. So I turned around, there's about 200 kids running at me. And I know enough Cambodian, I said, odd me in. And they all sort of peeled off, except for a little group of about maybe six or eight boys, and they're probably around about 12, 13 years old, maybe a little bit younger, a little bit older, but they ran right up to me, and the kid that was the biggest in the middle, he pulled out a gun, and he just pointed that at me like that. And everything slowed down. It was just like... And the first thought that came to my head, there was no fear with it. The first thought that came to my head was, oh, so this is how it ends. I've often wondered how the book will finish. So this is how it ends. And then I looked across the park, over the other side where I'd start off, and all my teams run around having fun. And I thought, gee, they're going to have a bad day. Because they're going to have to ring my wife and go, they shot him over a balloon. And I thought, they're going to have a bad day. And then I looked back at this kid and I thought, well, by the time my body hits the ground, I'll be in heaven. And I knew where I was going. I knew, you know, Revelation talks about the river and the trees with the... I knew that was where I was going. I don't know why. I just thought that must be the arrival point. And I just knew that's where I'd end up. And the kid looked at me and he put the gun... He still had the gun up on me. This all happened in a matter of seconds, but it was slow. It was peaceful. It was methodical. It wasn't scary. You know, the die is not scary, I found out. And then he went, click, click. And laughed at me and ran away. It was a replica gun. Looked very, very real. But I tell people I always carry a balloon in my pocket now just in case, but that's just a joke. But I remember this point of, well, there's no point in fighting it. Like, you can't outrun a bullet. I tried to outrun thunder one day. You ever done that in the backyard? The big clap of thunder and a bolt of lightning, you start running. And you realise, this is stupid, I can't outrun lightning. So you just walk back to your house. I've tried to outrun it. But there's this place of surrender that goes, there's no point, there's no arguments left in me, there's nothing. That's where God wants to bring us, this surrender. It's not having not submitted to the righteousness of God. Soon we're going to have an altar call. It's going to be like a salvation call, but it's going to be a salvation call that you would also take up, not only salvation, but righteousness. You might have already taken up salvation, but you never understood that righteousness is that free gift. And I want you to take it up today. It's only in seed form. We're only, we're sprinkling some seeds out today, and I really hope they stick to you so you go home and think about this more. Philippians 3:9. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law of works, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That's the kind of righteousness we need. Not our own righteousness, but being found in him, having this righteousness that's already been paid for and is already yours to have. It's already yours. You might say, well, I haven't lived in righteousness yet. I've been a Christian. I've named the name of Jesus, but I really haven't been living a holy and a righteous life. It's probably because you're trying to do it from the outside in. Do it from the inside out. Get hold of what God's already done for you and just go, let that overflow. Let that overflow. Last scripture. And I think this is what God's probably saying to the church. And I think someone even used this word today. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. We just need to wake up to what God's done. If you never knew it before, doesn't matter. Now you know it. Awake to righteousness. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. If you've gone, hey, this actually made sense to me today. This is not just information. It's not just fact that Andrew's rolled out. It's done something in my heart. I want you to just stand up. We're not going to call you out the front. But I just want you to stand up because we're going to pray a prayer. And if you say, I want this prayer to be part of my, you know, that this righteousness, God will open the eyes of my understanding that I can receive it. Okay, on the count of three, you can stand up. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, sir. There we go. Always takes one. Just stand up into righteousness. Just stand up into it. I think there's more. I think there's more. You've already received Jesus. It's okay. You can stand up. I'm not saying it's a salvation call. I'm going, it's a call to stand into this righteousness, this place of righteousness God has for you. Yeah. Hey, Jay. Good to see you, mate. Saw your little daughter dancing out here with the flags. Wasn't she beautiful, hey? Good kid. Are we ready? You remember how to receive? Just like sunbaking. Just position yourself. I've saved you thousands of dollars. You don't have to go to Bethel now. Just get in receive mode. Get your antennas out. Loving Father, we think you are great. We thank you for everything that you've done, because we weren't capable of it. If righteousness came through the law or works, Jesus would never have had to die. But he died to create a way for you and I to walk in righteousness. And Father, today we receive. We receive that righteousness, oh God. We ask for you to open the eyes of our understanding, that these words today, these 14 scriptures, would stick in our heart, and you would bring them across our path time and time and time and time and time again. You bring them across our path, oh God, until they're not my words to these people, but it's your word to these people. Father, that they would own this, Father. Just the same as my mate preached it for 2 weeks in Cambodia and Thailand. And I said, I own that now. I own that. I own that revelation. Father, let this revelation take place in people's hearts. And Father, for everyone that's struggled, everyone that's had a trouble with holiness, my God, let them just not try to do it from outside in, but now let it be the inside working its way outward. That these are the things that accompany salvation, a holy lifestyle. It'll be you in them, Christ in me, the hope of glory. For your glory, O God, extend your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm just trying to figure out where to go from here. We'll wrap it up real quick, okay? I've got two or three prophetic words. Then we'll go from there. I'm already shared with Sean. The man just leaning forward now beside Scott, you're just standing up to walk out, sir. Hang on for a minute. Grab that man. That man. God spoke to me earlier. I like your moustache, by the way, mate. I can't see. It's a cool moustache. I felt this, and this is what God said to me at the beginning of the service when I was looking around. If you notice me looking around, someone said to me, why do you always look around? I said, because I'm trying to see who God's talking about. I have a look around and someone sticks. And this is what I felt. Someone's been introducing some new concepts to you recently. Someone's been sharing some things, and it's actually a call to a deeper commitment. And the things that are happening is not really the wisdom of man, because no one's smart enough to change your mind. You know what you believe, and you know things. But there's things that are starting to come, and it's like it's getting your ear, and you're listening, and it's starting to influence you. And it's not actually... it's not because the person that's sharing it with you is wise, but it's actually the Spirit of God inviting you to a deeper walk. And God's been putting this little call out there and inviting you to come deeper. And I felt the word, and I circled this one when I wrote it down, I felt the word is yield. As you yield to what God's doing in your life at the moment, if you yield to that, God will actually make you an instructor of others down the track a little bit. But the thing is, yield. And I don't know who's been talking to you. I see you sitting beside Scott. If it's Scott, you're doing well. Do you know Scott? Yeah. I don't know whether it's Scott that's been talking to you, but some things that are just bubbling on the inside. And if you're going, oh, I don't know, it's going to cost me a little bit to do that. If you yield to them, you're going to be amazed at the outcome of what's going to happen, okay? Okay, God bless you. I hope that sits right in your heart. Where's Mike and Rachel? That sounds like Mike up there. Rachel around anywhere? Hello, guys. I was watching your little daughter. I was watching her dance, and I thought, this kid's amazing. She can chew chewing gum in time to music. Do you know that? That's an amazing gift. She was chewing it in time. Mama's up there singing. She's just chewing chewing gum. And I was looking at her, and I was looking at the freedom that this child has, and I thought she got an incredibly free spirit. Incredibly free spirit. It's a beautiful thing, and I pray it never gets shut down. And then it's almost like fast forward, she's a teenager. And what was really cute, and people looked at her and went, oh, look, how cute is she now? All of a sudden, she's a teenager, and she still carried the same freedom, and people didn't understand it. And it wasn't that she was naughty, she just was free. She wasn't bound by certain restrictions and rules, she was just free. And I felt you're really going to have to guard her in her teenage years, because there's going to be an opinion There's going to be opinions from people saying, oh, you know, I don't know if this is good or bad. You know her heart. You know what a beautiful young lady she is and what a beautiful teenage girl she's going to grow into. But she's not going to be the norm. And almost felt like a Byron Bay feel about her. And I don't mean that in the negative things of Byron Bay. I just meant she's just going to have the freedom. And we're all going to go, well, you know, you're supposed to dress like this. You're supposed to look like that. And she's just going to, you know, she's going to be a little flower child that just loves life, loves Jesus. And your job, guys, is to protect her through those years and shut down the words. Shut down the words of people that are just uninformed. You know, just protect the little thing, because I reckon she's going to be amazing. There will be some misunderstandings, but Mama and Papa are going to be Mama and Papa Bear. And you're going to look after her, and she's going to come out through her teenage years with a, you know, with a fire. She loves God. She'll never lose that. She'll come out with something amazing. She'll be worth watching. Watch this little girl. Watch this space, I think. Well, anyway, God bless. 1 minute. Can you give me one more minute? One more minute. That's all I ask. You may have come to church today and you've heard a lot about righteousness or how to act once you're a Christian, but you've gone, well, I'm actually not a Christian. I've never actually, and the way to become a Christian is a simple prayer that it's just like opening your heart. When I, 1st of May 2003. No. 1983. I said, I do. I said some words, I do. I wasn't married in the morning. I said two words, I do. And I was married in the afternoon. Two little words changed my life. I do. I've been married 38 years now. Got two children and a grandbaby on the way. Isn't that exciting? My first grandchild on the way. They said, you can pick your grandfather name. I said, Grandmaster, Grandpapa. They said, no. So my name's Andrew. I said, Grandrew. Grandrew. That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be Grandrew. But it all came about because of two words, I do, and then I was married. 38 years later, I'm still married. I've been married 38 years to the same lady. So here we are today. You're in church, not a Christian, but all you've got to do to become a Christian is go, two words, I do. I do. I do. Do you want us to receive Jesus? I do. So just while every head's bowed, if you wouldn't mind doing this, every eye's closed, just to give people privacy, is there anyone here that wants to pray what we call the beginner's prayer and say, Jesus, come into my heart? You just raise your hand up right now and say, I do. I'm just going to look over one or two times and just kind of scan backwards and forwards. I do. Just raise that hand. Okay. Well, Pastor Matt, go. Okay. Folks, I know the children's church has been very patient. If you need to go and get your children, please feel free to do so. If you need to say, listen, I've got another appointment, I've got to head home now, please feel free to do so. But if you want prayer for anything, I'm in no hurry. My next service is at 5:00 this afternoon, so I'm in no hurry. So if you want prayer for anything, just as Mike leads us in one song, if you want to come, you can come. And I'd love to pray for you today. So God bless you. Thank you for coming to church. And don't forget all the things, all the announcements Matt shared with you today. If you forget them, just go and ask him, what were those announcements again?